chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 26 down to verse 39. Starting there, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. We certainly rejoice in that wonderful testimony.
I think it was a long time ago, and you would be right in saying that it's been a touch over 4 years since we've had baptisms here, and that was in the old building, obviously. It was on the... I can't remember the exact date, but it was in March. We had that smaller building and we were jam-packed like sardines. We had, I think, about 8 people get baptized going through the water. And I think the next day the government called lockdowns because we got to make sure we don't spread germs for COVID. So I figured, if it was in our building at that stage, we all were going to get it. We were like that close. But we haven't had baptisms since then. I like having baptisms for a number of reasons. I love hearing the testimonies of people of how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I like to see them acting in obedience to the Lord in being baptized as well. It's a special day. For each person, it's a day that I suspect you never forget. I have baptized, I could not even number how many, and the reality is I can only think of 3 people that I've ever baptized. I have no memory even of baptizing my children. I can't remember those days, so it's terrible. I only remember Al, Matt, and Liz. 3 or 4 years ago, I don't even know who the other ones were, sorry. But nonetheless, I still remember the day I got baptized. And that was a long time ago. I was probably about 19 years of age at that stage. I certainly remember that day. It's a day you won't forget. And as we read this scripture of this Ethiopian, I suspect it was a day that he never forgot as well. It was a very special day. We know that he went away rejoicing, and I suspect he continued to rejoice, and he always had that wonderful memory of that day when he was baptized. We can gather from the scripture that he was a man of power in Ethiopia. It seems like he was the treasurer of the nation, to the queen. Yet he worshipped the God of the Jews, which would have been rather strange. Now, maybe he had some Jewish descendants, I don't know, or I suspect he was a proselyte, that is someone who had converted to the Jewish faith. What we do know is he was coming back from a feast that was there at Jerusalem at the time. And we also know that he knew the scriptures. He actually had a copy of the scriptures, which I suspect would have been quite rare, which shows the wealth that he had. But he had the scriptures, and he was reading the scriptures the very time that Philip met up with him. And as we read there, he was reading from the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and how he foretold the death of the Messiah that was to come. But although he read these words, he didn't understand what it was saying, which is often the case when people read the scriptures. They read it, but they're not exactly sure what it's talking about. And he couldn't understand, was Isaiah the prophet talking about his own death, or was he talking about the death of somebody else? And I suspect if it was just left up to him, he would have continued to wonder. But God, in his providence and his love for this man, made sure there was someone to explain it to him. And God sent that man, Philip, and he was given the wonderful opportunity to share with him how this prophecy was about the Messiah, which was to come, and how he was to die for mankind. And he also then explained to him how Jesus of Nazareth, which I suspect this man would have heard of, was the fulfillment of this prophecy. It simply says there, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now we know that's just a little simple explanation for how Philip explained or preached to him the good news, that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a lot bigger. And we would understand that in that process, that Philip would have explained how Jesus was born of a virgin, and he was the product of God coming to Mary, and he was truly the Son of God and not simply a man. And he proved this throughout his ministry life by doing countless miracles in the sight of those in Jerusalem and in Galilee, showing that he was sincerely the Son of God. He would have explained to him this was the Messiah that was prophesied would come and was laid there for all the Old Testament to see. Yet, despite that, in God's providence, the Jews forsook him, they humiliated him, rejected him, and they nailed him to a cross. Philip would have explained all this to him as he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus came, and what it's talking about is his death, how he died and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And he took upon himself our sin, and there he died on that cross. That's what Philip would have explained as he preached unto him Jesus. Yet sure enough, he would have told him how on the third day he rose again from the dead, proving that he was truly the Son of God, and yes, sins for mankind had been paid in full. And so that's what he preached when it says that he preached unto him Jesus. And upon hearing this, we learn that this Ethiopian eunuch believed. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He believed what Philip had told him. And this man was saved this day. And when we say saved, what that means is saved from having to bear the punishment by God of his sin in hell for all eternity. That's something to be saved from. He was saved from having to be punished for his own sin, understanding that Jesus, the Son of God, paid it all for him. He took the punishment. And that's a wonderful testimony. And I wonder how many times this Ethiopian eunuch shared his testimony to others. Maybe the queen, Candace, the queen, let me tell you what happened. And he shared his testimony. There are lots of testimonies throughout the scriptures of how people heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some heard the gospel while they were in prison, next to another prisoner who was a Christian. Some heard the gospel while they were sick. Others, they heard the gospel as there's a whole bunch of people. They probably wondered what's happening here. And then they hear one of his disciples preaching about Jesus and how they can be saved. And they heard the gospel that way. Others, they would have heard that there were the disciples of Jesus doing miracles and they're watching the miraculous things taking place. And then the disciples shared, don't worry about this. Let me tell you something greater, how Jesus will save you from your sin. And they heard the gospel. There are many ways people can get to hear the gospel. If you're saved here today, I suspect you have a story to tell of when and how you heard about Jesus, that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet there's one thing that is the same for everyone who is truly saved. They may have heard the gospel in different ways, they may differ, but there's one thing that never differs when you're truly saved, and that is the actual gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, the testimonies that we're going to hear today, if they sound familiar, it's because they should sound familiar. If one of them says that I saw a butterfly flying and I realized that I was special to God and now I want to tell everyone that God loves me, that's scary, all right? That's not a testimony of salvation. It's hearing what Jesus did for them and believing it and receiving it for themselves. And that's the only way, and that's the testimony of this Ethiopian. He knew that he had the scriptures, he heard it, he knew it, but he didn't understand it. But once he had it explained to him, he then believed it and was saved. I find interesting, he got saved the first time he heard the gospel. That doesn't always happen. In fact, that's probably rarer than normal. Sometimes people hear it lots of times before they actually get saved and make that decision for themselves personally. For me, I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor as well. I heard the gospel countless times, and for me, I had no doubt the gospel was true. I understood it and I knew it was true. And I tell you, as a young boy, I feared the thought of going to hell. I certainly didn't want that. I believed it all to be true. And if you grew up in a Christian home, you would probably be able to identify with me that you prayed and with a sincere heart to ask God to save you many, 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 many times. I still can remember one time, I think I prayed the prayer of salvation at least 6 times in a row, just to make sure, making sure God understood what I meant and that he heard me. And so I heard it and I certainly prayed it. It wasn't until I was 13, I was at a camp and I was really convicted in the meeting. It was a gospel message. And for some reason, I thought it is time to, like, if you had a stake in the ground, this is the day I got saved regardless. I have to be able to look back on a day. And so on the 7th of January, where camps are usually around that time, 7th of January, 1980. Get that? For some, it doesn't seem that long ago. For others, it's a lifetime ago. But in 1980, I walked the aisle. I asked if I could talk to someone. I can't even remember his name. We went out and sat on the back steps of the church, and there I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. And that's the day I give. When I get to heaven, if the Lord permits, I'm going to ask him, when did I really get saved? Was it one of those 100 times I prayed when I was younger, or was it on that day in January? I'd be very interested to know. But some people have to hear it lots before they get saved. Others hear it just that first time. Sadly for me, though, after that 7th of January 1980, when I was 13, sadly, as going into high school, I just lived a life of flesh and pleasure. And though that decision I made seemed to be so far away, where I just did what I wanted rather than what I knew God wanted me to do, I was more interested in how people perceived me at school than anything else. And it wasn't until I was 19 that the Lord broke my stubborn heart and I surrendered, knelt down, said, "Lord, I'm just going to give you my life." I didn't think I got saved then, but I certainly surrendered. I was sick of doing what I wanted to do. Interesting thing is, within weeks of doing that, I started to have this overwhelming desire to be baptized. And it wasn't like someone was telling me, "You should get baptized." It wasn't like there were baptisms coming up and, "Oh, maybe I should get baptized," as some of you, I'm sure, have felt. There was no one telling me. It was really just the Spirit of God giving me that desire. I had a desire to be baptized very similar to this Ethiopian. Because, except for him, it wasn't weeks or years after believing. It was minutes, because if you look there in chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" So Philip wasn't saying, "Hey, now that you've heard and believed, you need to be baptized." This was the eunuch having a desire. So he asked him, "What hinders me to be baptized now?" So it was straight away. That wasn't quite how it worked for me. You know, even though I started to think about being baptized, then pride and fear started to come in and think, I thought, what is the point of getting up the front and being dunked in water in front of everyone? What does that prove? I started to justify it to myself. That seems really embarrassing, if you ask me. That was my thoughts. And to be honest, I still think it's rather odd and embarrassing, all right, to do that. But as time went on and I started to get convicted, I realized that Jesus was baptized in front of a lot of people and he wants me to be like him. I understood very clearly that he told his disciples to go and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So this was a desire of Jesus to happen to those who believe on him. And so I got to the point where I'm sick of just doing what I want and explaining it away. If Jesus says I'm to do it, I'm to do it. And so that's the reason why I got baptized, simply out of obedience. But we see here in this passage that there was one requirement for baptism, and that was faith in Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 37, when the Ethiopian asked, and Philip said, you know, he said, "What hinders me?" And he says, "If thou believest with all thine heart." What he's talking about there, if you believe with all your heart what I've just told you about Jesus, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he gave testimony to Philip that he not only knew the scriptures, not only understood the scriptures, but he believed what the scriptures said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's good to have a public testimony of salvation for each person who wants to get baptized. Baptism isn't just someone who's heard the scriptures and wants to join a church or anything like that. Baptism is someone testifying that they have heard what Jesus has done for them and believed it and received it for themselves. And they want to testify that to everybody who can bear witness. And so it says there in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water. Get that? Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think there's two parts to that. They went down into the water. That means they probably went down and they were knee-high or waist-high, and you will see that we will go into the water, which I don't really enjoy that much either, but we both get wet. And it says, so they went into the water, then he baptized. The word baptized is a Greek word, baptizo, which means to immerse or to fully wet. If you've been sprinkled or had something poured over your head as a baby, that's not New Testament baptism. There's a Greek word in the original for that. It's called rantizo. It's to sprinkle something like they would do with the offerings. But this is baptizo. Always when baptism is mentioned, that's the word, to fully wet or immerse. And so we see the method and the process here with this Ethiopian. He heard the gospel of Jesus. He understood it and believed it and received it for himself. That Jesus was the Son of God who died for him. And on the basis of that, God says he saves that person's soul. And then he gave testimony of that to those who were present there. And then he was baptized, going down into the water and being immersed. And it says there in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That was a happy day for him. So, just a little thought, is it wrong to trust Christ as your Savior and get baptized straight away? No, usually in the Scripture that's the way it happens. Just doesn't seem to happen these days. If someone wants to get saved today who isn't, come and talk to me and I'll keep the water in and we can get baptized tonight. I'm not against that. That would be exciting. But nonetheless, those who have told me they want to get baptized, they are to give a testimony of what Jesus has done for them. And then, on the basis of that testimony, be baptized. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to have these baptisms. And so, I'm just going to pack up a few things here. Phil wanted me to make sure I take this off.